2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gave us the eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
Thanks, Ben. This is God's word to us. Just a short reading this evening, but let's pray again. Let's seek God's help, and then let's think about these words together. Gracious God, thank you for your scriptures, which are living and active. Please teach us tonight. Teach us what it looks like to live as followers of Jesus here in Enfield, in this time in which you've placed us, with all the unsettledness of the times in which we live. Help us with these parts of your word tonight. Make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. Teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here's a question for you, whether you're at home or here in the building. Have you ever had what I would call the wobbles in your Christian life? Now, what do I mean by wobbles? Well, perhaps a wobble of belief. A wobble of assurance. Am I really saved? Do I really believe the right things? Dare I say it, but you know, have I come to the right church? Are they teaching me the right things? Is this a safe place? Am I really learning stuff that's going to keep me saved for eternity? Have you ever had the wobbles? The wobbles in the Christian life where you feel a little bit kind of unsure, unsteady, uncertain about what you believe, about the things that you've been taught. I can't see your faces, so I have no idea whether that's something you have experienced, but it is a very common experience. And it's something that we've seen, and Tim's already helped us to see from this letter in the Bible, can actually come at us from kind of three dimensions. 3D troubles can cause us to wobble. So it could come from persecutions. It could come in times where the pressures we're receiving for being Christians are heavy and weighty, and people don't want us to believe, and the pressures upon us are great. In some countries around our world, that is a very physical thing, and that may cause wobbles of what people believe. It could be a psychological thing. It could be persecutions where people are just putting pressure on you. It could be family pressures. It could be pressures from the workplaces to not believe certain things because it's seen as intolerant. It could be persecutions that cause us to wobble. It could be false teaching. Going for our minds, challenging the things that we believe, the intellect in that sense. It could be a false teaching in that sense. It could be temptation. Temptations are coming upon us that cause us to wobble in different ways. And all of these things can make us feel very tossed back and forward as believers, unsteady on our feet, and even make us unsure of the things that we believe. Now, that is certainly the implied experience of these believers in Thessalonica. They had become unsettled. Hopefully you've picked that up by now as we've gone through this letter. But look at chapter 2, verse 2. Let's just dive in and have a look. Chapter 2, verse 2. Let's pick it up at verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by teaching allegedly from us. Here is a church that's having a wobble. They're uncertain, they're unsettled in some way. Not only were they facing trials and persecutions for their faith, but they've also become unsettled by false teaching about the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say that the same can be true for us today. It's easy to be thrown into a wobble and tossed back and forward as a Christian in the things that we believe by all sorts of different teachings that we can pick up. Picking up on in the internet, there are podcasts available to us. There's so much teaching today that owns the label Christian, that it's very easy to have wobbles, to feel unsettled. Are we believing the right thing? Have we believed the right message? Is this really true? And like the church in Thessalonica, those teachings may be around the return of Jesus. That's a particular hotbed for teachings which can leave you feeling unsettled or uncertain. You know, we may be different to what the church here was facing, but there's certainly true. If you want to go get yourself confused in life about Christian things, then you go Googling things about the second coming of Jesus, and you'll soon find, whoa, this is a hotbed of things where I can receive all sorts of teaching. And actually, it can lead us into a wobble. Do I believe the right thing? You know, how am I going to be safe when all this stuff happens? What is it going to be like in the build-up to Jesus' return? And all these things, and it can leave us feeling very unsettled, very uncertain, very unsure. And so this evening, as a church back in Thessalonica faced that, I want to put before you what Paul says is the remedy to the wobbles. The remedy to wobbles, to being unsettled in the Christian life. And here they are, three R's for us this evening. It's always going to have rhyming letters, isn't it? But here they are, three R's for us. Remember, remain, and rely. That is Paul's remedy for this church as they were unsettled in the Christian life. Remember, remain, and rely. Here's number one, remember. Remember with thankfulness what God's gospel, that is the gospel preached through the apostles, did for you. Remember with thankfulness what God's gospel, the apostles' gospel, did for you. We have lots of ways of remembering things in life, don't we? So we do things like remember the 5th of November, or we have things like Remembrance Sunday or Remembrance Day, where we talk about lest we forget. We have ways of building into our life, remembering past events that have shaped our present, that shape our today. And in verse 13 to 14, as this church is unsettled, in verses 13 and 14, in the midst of their being unsettled, Paul helps them to look back, to remember something that has happened for them. He reminds them with thankfulness to God that God has done something in their life through the preaching of Paul's gospel, the apostles' gospel. So what is it that God has done for them? Look at verse 13. Verse 13, he says there, "Brothers, we ought always to thank God for you, loved by the Lord." Why? "Because he chose you as the first fruits to be saved." Now let's just pause there. There's a lot of words in this sentence, but that is the kind of the nugget of it, the truth of it. What is it that God has done for them? He's chosen them to be saved. The message of the gospel is at the heart, is a message of salvation. It's a message of rescue. What if you had to kind of sum up the Bible teaching, the gospel in one word? Well, there's all sorts of ways you could do it, but one of the words you might pick is salvation. It's a rescue story. In verse 12, if you just cast an eye back, if you've got a Bible, look at verse 12. What's he just been talking about in this letter? He's been talking about the fact that there is a group of people, and that when Jesus returns, they will be condemned. Condemned because they've not believed the truth about Jesus, and condemned in verse 12 because they've delighted in wickedness. That is the human problem, is we've not believed God, and instead we've delighted in wickedness, doing the things that God says is wrong. And the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel that this church had believed, is one of how to be saved from condemnation. And rather than condemnation awaiting us, instead we get a share in the glory of Jesus. And that is a beautiful thing. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2. He says there, he's called you to this through our gospel so that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe just in part we begin to see the goodness of that. But that is what this gospel message is about. It is saved from condemnation to have a share in the glory of Jesus. And that is the message that this church in Thessalonica had believed. They believed that when it was preached to them. You see that at the end of verse 13. As this message came, they believed it through their belief in the truth, belief in this message about Jesus Christ. God chose them. He picked them. And he said, you're going to be the first people to believe this in Thessalonica. And they had quite a conversion story, the church in Thessalonica. And their conversion story had become known all over the world. How they had turned to God from idols, to serve God, and to wait for Jesus from heaven. Their story was a known story. It was a real thing. It had a real impact in their lives and on others too. And that is the event that Paul is asking them to look back to in verse 13. They are chosen, and it is seen, and it is proved by the way they responded to the gospel. Verse 13 says, actually, it's not just them, but it's the way the Holy Spirit helped them to respond to the gospel. Paul tells us in the first letter to them that their gospel, his gospel, came to them not only with words, but with deep conviction, with the Spirit's interactivity. And they believed this gospel. Now, how did God call them to this salvation? How did he bring them in, as it were, to being saved? Well, look at verse 14. So he's chosen them, but how did he bring them to be saved? Verse 14, this is really important because this is exactly how God does it today. He called you to this salvation, through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus. He called them to salvation through Paul's gospel. Now, this is really important, okay? You've got to notice he uses a word, our gospel. Our gospel, the apostles' gospel, the gospel entrusted to those who had special authority from Jesus to preach this gospel. And that is how people are saved. People are saved as God sends out this gospel through his messengers, and he calls people to trust in Jesus through that gospel. And so Paul, as this church is feeling unsettled, he leans into them, as it were, and he says, look, remember the gospel, our gospel that was preached to you. That is the way that God called you. It had a real impact on you. It really changed your world. You turned from God, from idols to God. You served God now, and you're waiting for Jesus. Just remember. Remember what God has done for you through our gospel. Did any other message do that for you? Friends, when the wobbles come, remember what God's gospel has already done for you. The message that was preached to you, the apostles' gospel. What impact has that had on you? And if, you know, I wonder if you're here this evening or you're watching at home and you can recall a day in your life or a period of time. For some of us, it's not an instant moment. It's a period of time where the gospel's been doing its work on us. But can you look back on a period of time in your life when through the gospel, God has called you to himself? He's called you to be saved. See, if not, then tonight, maybe God is calling you through the gospel. The gospel that's been preached to you, perhaps as you've listened in to this church or through people that are around you, God may be calling you to himself to be saved. Will you believe that truth? So friends, when you have the wobbles, what is the first part of the remedy? When we're feeling unsettled by different teaching, actually, Paul says, remember what God's gospel, the apostles' gospel, has already done for you. Remember what that message has done for you, and be thankful for it. Remember. Second R, remain. Remain in God's gospel. Remember what God's gospel has done for you, and remain in God's gospel. It's probably been a long time since many of us have been on a tube train. I know some people are still commuting in and out of London. But travelling on a tube train is an art in itself, isn't it? Particularly when our kids were younger and we used to go into London. If we bundled them onto a train and there were no seats, you could almost guaranteed hear Emma and I shout at the kids, grab hold of something! Because you know exactly what's going to happen if there are no seats and you've got kids kind of scattered all over a tube train. When that train accelerates or it breaks, your kids are just going to go shooting down the aisle. Or I do as well, actually. But it's a fine art, isn't it? It's an art form to travel on a tube. Now, in verse 15, what is Paul saying to the church? In verse 15, if you look there, in effect, he is saying to the church, grab hold of something. When the wobbles come and you're unsettled by all sorts of teaching or by persecutions or temptations, grab hold of something. Now, he does that using two words. You see that verse 15? Have a look there. He says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast. Two words to capture one idea. Stand firm. That's the idea of standing with your feet planted. So picture yourself on the tube train. What do you want to do? You want to spread your feet out a bit so they're not together and you've got going to wobble over. You plant your feet, don't you? And then grab hold of something. Hold fast. That's the second word. Hold fast, kind of grip hold of the pole or the things that hang from above. Hold fast, feet planted, hanging on tight. And that's the picture that Paul gives us. If you're going to not be unsettled or wobble over it when you have those times, you've got to stand firm and hold on to something. Now, what is it that we've got to grab onto? Well, have a look at verse 15. He says, stand firm and hold fast. To what? To the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. What do we hold on to when we feel unsettled? We hold on to the gospel. We hold on to the truth, the same truth that was preached to us, that we believed, and that called us to salvation. The word Paul uses here is the word teachings or traditions. If you see, you've got a little footnote in your Bible there. Some of you may have that. And it says traditions. Now, we've got to think about that because Paul uses that word very deliberately. He could have said, just believe my gospel. But he picks very deliberately this word. The word teachings is important because he's capturing something here about the nature and authority with which his teaching comes. A tradition is something that's passed down to you. This isn't something Paul made up. This has been passed down to him with the authority of Jesus. It came from Jesus, and he is now passing it on to them. You see, we hear the word traditions, and we think of all sorts of stuff, don't we? Churches are terrible at traditions. You know, if this music stand has been here for 3 weeks, then it cannot be moved for the rest of the church's life because it's tradition that it's there. And churches are terrible at traditions, that kind of traditions. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. In using the word traditions, he's using the idea that this teaching comes with a passed down authority. It comes from Jesus. And he's saying, this is the message you've got to hold on to because of where it comes from. This is the teaching about Christ crucified. Crucified for our sins, risen from the grave through the power of the Father, raised to heaven, ascended to heaven, and one day returning as judge. That is the apostles' gospel. And that is what we must hold on to. And these are the teachings, friends, that we now have preserved for us in the New Testament. These are the teachings that we have bound together in one place. And Paul says, remain in this teaching. Hold fast, stand firm in this teaching. Plant your feet firmly and hold tight to these teachings about Jesus. Now, why? I don't know if you can hear that at home, but that's very, very loud here. But why? Why grip hold of this gospel as we've got it in the New Testament? Because it's the truth. It is the truth that will keep us standing upright. And when every storm of controversy comes or doubts rage around us, it is holding on to the trustworthy message of the apostles who were given it by Jesus that will help us to stand upright. See, verse 13 and 14, just if you've got a Bible, think about this with me for a moment. Verse 13 and 14 is all about God's work, isn't it? Drawing attention to God's work. He's called you. He's chosen you. He's saved you. And it would be easy to think, wouldn't it, if you read verses like that, that, well, hey, we can just sit back and rest in that and we'll be all right because it's all God. And that's true, it is all God's work. God's work of salvation needs nothing else doing to it. But does that mean we can sit back? Well, no, because look at what he says in verse 14, 15. He says, be active in this. This is the gospel that saved you, but you need to stand firm in this gospel. You need to work hard at taking hold of this, planting your feet in it. Stand firm and hold fast. And I want to ask you guys this evening, how are you grabbing hold of the gospel every day? How are you doing at remaining in the gospel in the midst of your wobbles? It's a year, isn't it, of being unsettled. I think many of us have felt unsettled in different ways this year. But what have you done to grab hold of the gospel as if you're riding a tube train? And are you going to grab hold of the rail of the gospel and plant your feet? How are you doing it at actively grabbing hold of the gospel? Hey, here's some very practical things, but it's got to start with reading it, hasn't it? Or listening to it. You know, do you make time in your day, in your week, to read the gospel? Do you sing it? We've massively missed singing, haven't we, this year? But there are so many good songs that put the gospel into our heads, and you know, maybe we can be listening to the gospel through song. Maybe you're struggling to make the effort to come and attend the places where you will get contact with the gospel. I know that church has been a struggle. It's a struggle in our lounges. It's a struggle even when we come here because we're distracted and there's things going on around us. But we've got to try and make the effort to be in the places where we're going to get contact with the gospel. That's how we'll grab hold of it and stand firm in it. Give it time. Become a student of the gospel. Know what the true gospel is so that when false teaching comes at you from all sorts of directions, you can say, well, that doesn't sound like what I've read in the Bible. That doesn't sound true to me. Talk about it with others. You know, when you've picked up the phone to people over this season, have you talked about the gospel with each other? You know, maybe this year has just been a real struggle. Struggle to find the time, struggle to find the motivation. But one of Paul's remedies to the wobbles in the Christian life is actively to get yourself back into the gospel, Paul's gospel, our gospel, he says. The gospel that comes through those entrusted by Jesus to preach that message to us. Hold fast. Hold fast in this season. When wobbles come, remain in the gospel. Cling tight to what we've actually been told is true. So, you still with me? When the wobbles come, what's the first word? Remember. What's the second word? Remain. Third word, rely. Rely. Rely on Jesus for his help. And just look at verse 16 and 17. Paul breaks out into a prayer, doesn't he? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Paul's modeling to us one of the remedies in the wobbles, which is that right in the middle of his letter, he just breaks out into a prayer and he writes it down. But what's he doing? He's lifting his eyes to heaven and he's saying, Jesus, we need your help in the midst of all the things that rage around us, temptations and persecutions and false teaching. Now, there's lots of words in verse 16 and 17, but if you're going to boil it down, what's he praying for? He's praying for them to stand firm and hold fast. That's his prayer. You see that in verse 17. Have a look. He asks Jesus to encourage their hearts. Now that is the same idea, the same kind of root of word as the very word he uses in verse 15 for standing firm. This is a prayer that he would help them to be inwardly committed to the things that they've been taught, to the gospel that they've believed. It's a prayer they will stand rooted to the gospel as Paul has preached it to them. And he prays for strength, for courage. That's the putting in of courage to these believers so that they will keep living out their faith. When the wobbles come, what does it do? It makes you turn in on yourself and you stop kind of actively living the Christian life. And we're going to come to some of the ways the church in Thessalonica were doing that. They stopped living the outward Christian life. But Paul prays, look, Jesus, help them to stand firm and help them to keep living the Christian life. Look at what he says. May he strengthen you in every good deed and word. When the wobbles come, we must learn, like Paul, to rely on Jesus for help to stand firm and hold fast to the gospel. Is that how you pray when the wobbles come? Is that how you pray for others? When you know that they're struggling, when the wobbles have come in other people's lives. God saved us. That's what we see in verse 13 to 14, don't we? He's chosen us. He's called us. He's sanctifying us by his Spirit. And if it's his work, then why wouldn't you look to him for help to stand firm when wobbles come? How can we be sure that you'll get his help? You know, when you lift your eyes and you pray verse 16 and 17, how can you be sure? Because of his unfailing love. I don't know if you noticed that as we went through. Look at verse 13. How are Christians described? How are you described tonight if you are a Christian? Verse 13, brothers and sisters, what does he say? Loved by the Lord. Loved by Jesus. That is you tonight. How can you be sure of his help? How do you know that he wants you to stand firm and not be unsettled? Because he loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Verse 16, what does it say there about the Father, God, Jesus and the Father? It says, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. He has poured out his love upon us. How do you know he wants to help you? How do you know he will help you when you pray, Lord, encourage my heart and strengthen me in the faith? Because he loves you. That's how you know. A demonstrated love. Approved love in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, when the wobbles come, I don't know if you're having the wobbles right now, whether you feel particularly unsettled right now after this year we've had, whether there's particular false teachings that you've taken in that have unsettled you, when the wobbles come, the remedy is this. Remember what God has done for you through the gospel that we have in the pages of the scriptures. Remain, stand firm, hold fast. You're riding the tube train. Grip hold of the gospel, this gospel, Paul's gospel, and rely upon Jesus to help you to remain in that gospel. When you feel unsteady on your feet as a Christian, apply this remedy, Paul's remedy, to as we wait patiently for Jesus to come again. Let's pray for God's help to do that, shall we? And then we'll sing a song together and then Tim will lead us in further prayers. Our Father in heaven, we simply tonight want to pray the prayer of Paul here. Would you encourage our hearts and strengthen us, please, in every good deed and word. Father, in our times of feeling unsettled by circumstances or by teaching, would you encourage us? Encourage us, help us to stand firm in the gospel as it's been passed down to us. May we not become unsettled by other teachings. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.